Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein. Today is August 16th, 2020, and this is episode number 45 of the Isles Faithful Podcast. Number 45. We have not spoken in over 173 days. Not because I didn't want to. Obviously, by now, everyone is fully aware of this crazy pandemic that we're going through. I hope that all of my listeners and your families and everybody out there is as healthy as can be and hopefully hasn't really been affected by this insane virus. We've had a couple people in my family, you know, come down with it, but fortunately, everybody has come out of the other end of it. You know, the worst for the wear, a little scared. It was a little crazy going on, but my immediate family, everybody is 100% healthy and continues to be. And again, I hope everyone out there is safe and doing their part to stay safe, regardless of all the political junk that goes along with it. So obviously, aside from that and the shutdown, I went to Florida in March prior to everything shutting down. So I missed a couple of games there. Then the league shut down. We got home, my job shut down, I was home with the kids doing projects, this and that. If you follow me on Twitter, you kind of knew everything that was going on. So the last time we spoke was to talk about J.G. Pageau and the trade deadline and everything there. Obviously, things have progressed to that point with the round robin for the play-in and the Islanders beating the Florida Panthers, which was amazing. They played fantastic. Panthers didn't have a lot of fight. So we move into this round of the playoffs against the Washington Capitals, a team that was kind of scary. Obviously, we're coming off a win this afternoon. Matthew Barzal scores in overtime, somehow manages to get past his defenders without even really being noticed. Because by the time they turned to get him, he was already cutting to the center of the ice, and we know he scored on the backhand. I cannot begin to really tell you how crazy this all is and the path that we have taken to get here as fans, the NHL, the systems they put in place with the bubble cities, the way that they've covered the stands in Toronto so you don't see the seats, the extra screens. They've really done a very good job production-wise, and you know, I'll be back and forth here, and we'll get back into hockey in a minute. I'm besides myself, really. This is a tough way to watch hockey. I was torn with whether I wanted to see the players put themselves at risk. There were a couple of players that opted out. You know, like our boy Roman Hammer. Listen to me, Hammerlick. And as of this week, too, Tuukka Rask in Boston. Crazy situation there in the middle of the playoffs. But you got to do what's right for your family, I guess, right? I'm sure if my kids were younger, and I wouldn't want to be apart from them for a couple months either. So, no real blame there. You got some bonehead people making comments of it, like Mike Milbury and some of the other analysts out there. So that's another story too, but it's crazy that we've been forced to watch hockey in this fashion. And I kind of like it. It's crazy with the crowd noise pumped in there. You hear more things going on the ice, which is always good. You know, I'm a big fan of the game, and as you know, I do play the game myself. So it's nice to hear those things too. The delay, you know, that the announcers have to deal with, the play-by-play guys and, you know, Brendan Burke and Butch on the TV broadcast, you know, they're seeing the live feed because we're seeing a tape delay in case, God forbid, you hear some foul language off, you know, some of the players right along the ice there. Again, that's part of the game. I would pay to hear that feed. So even for them, for Brendan to call the game the way he does, and MSG, Isles on MSG on Twitter has been posting some behind-the-scenes stuff about his calls, and it's been fantastic. You see the excitement. You see him in his element with a big smile. You know, like, I know he might not exactly be a fan of the team, but he does cover the team. He does put his energy and everything behind it, and it's fantastic to see. And all these little cool things, like I keep saying, everybody is doing good things to kind of make the broadcast special, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the excitement. As you know, earlier this week was my 40th birthday. I thank everybody that reached out to me via DM, in my timeline, through Facebook. I was just blown away by all the praise and the well wishes and happy birthdays. And so I missed the game one because we were on the beach and my cousin talked me into staying, and it would have been the first game I got to actually watch on a TV aside from that one Saturday game against Florida last week. I had to watch on my phone at work for the first series there against Florida. So I really wanted to be able to just sit down like a human being and enjoy the game on my birthday. But we listened a little bit on the radio through play-by-play. We got some updates through everybody on Twitter. And it was honestly fun to celebrate with my cousin, my wife, and everybody on the beach while we ate dinner. So it was a pretty cool feeling. But these last two games, I have never been this excited. And, you know, it's a couple of you said on Twitter, you know, and I said earlier, you know, it's hard to be excited because there's no fans in the building. But I live through the energy of the players. I live through the energy of the players when I play with them. I lived through them when I covered the team through all the downtrodden years, too, on my blog. And I know from firsthand experience those guys, how they feel and act in the room after a big win. And those guys are just going to bring it every single night. They're going to go back to their room tonight. They might have a couple of coolie pops. I don't know. No wrongdoing there. They're going to enjoy and celebrate, you know, how they can. They are going to stick to business. They're going to continue to play ping pong. How awesome was that? JG Pageau, the new guy, comes out of the singles little tournament that they had going on up there in the bubble. Champion. If you haven't seen the video of his entrance, go see it. It's a sight to behold, let me tell you. And I'm rambling, you know, because it's been so long here that we haven't really spoken. And I'm excited. I've wanted to sit down and do this. I really wanted to give it the time that it deserved. And I haven't really been able to because it has been a busy week with my birthday. And again, I'm here right now. We're going to try to recap things a little bit. I don't want to get long-winded because, like, I don't have a crazy amount of time here tonight. But I wanted to get something out with my excitement, with some stats, just to get stuff out there so you had something to listen to tomorrow on your way to work, or if you're stuck working from home, or however you want to consume it. It's up to you. Islanders are up 3-0 in a series. I read a tweet earlier that this is the 11th time since they came into the league that this has happened. And if I was a good podcaster, I would have that piece of information handy. But I don't. So, yeah. Through the magic of editing, I now have it. The New York Islanders own a 3-0 lead in a best-of-seven Stanley Cup playoff series for the 11th time in franchise history. New York has won each of the 10 previous series, including 7 sweeps. So that's courtesy of the NHL's website, or at least their Twitter account, the PR account. So that's good to know. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I felt this way through the whole Pittsburgh series last year when they swept them in 4 games. The Capitals are a dangerous team. They obviously haven't looked extremely dangerous during this first round. Rather pedestrian at times, which is kind of strange. I've popped into the Washington Capitals forum on HF boards. I popped into the subreddit over there on Reddit, and they are absolutely tearing each other apart as fans. They're tearing the team apart. They're tearing the coach apart. The memes over there, let me tell you, the meme game is strong. But they're not wrong. It's kind of like a scary thing when your team struggles the way that they do. And the Islanders do that to teams. They've done that to teams all last season. They've done it for stretches this season. Granted, you know, it was only 66 or 62 games or something like that. And we saw the Islanders struggle at times this season as well. They did play the Capitals rather well, which was good to see and good to know going into this. They've smothered Ovechkin. There was a certain period of the game today where I didn't even notice Ovechkin. I was going to tweet it, and I didn't want to jinx anything, but until Pelech or somebody hit him pretty hard along the boards, I hadn't even noticed that Ovechkin was playing today. And that's not good for the Capitals. You know, they've got a lot of struggles going on, and it seems that the Islanders are exploiting these struggles, and maybe they just didn't show up to the bubble really ready to play. I didn't really follow what they did in the play-in round very close. Honestly, I didn't really care about it. It was kind of a weird thing. I was more just focused on the Islanders making it to the actual playoffs here in round one. So they're here. They've showed up. And show up they have. We have not had the depth on this team like this in a long time. You know, and in episode 44, we spoke about how they got Green for defensive depth because Pelech was out. Boychuk was struggling. Who else was hurt there from time to time? It's been so long, I don't even really remember, to be honest with you. But we have this defensive depth that Boychuk being hurt and out with a concussion hasn't really affected them the way that it would have had they had not picked up Green, or, you know, they would have had to play Dobson and maybe give him sheltered minutes and have a shorter defensive bench than they normally would. But you can throw these guys out there. You got Green and Letty and Pulak and Pelech, and it's been fantastic. Letty has looked really, really good. Is it any coincidence that the beard is back? I think not. I think that he gains all of his offensive and skating power from his beard, because when it's not there, he doesn't really look like the same player. I mean, that's probably just a stupid observation and a completely untrue one, but I'm going to stick with it. Bailey, Beauvillier, Barzal, Pulak, Nelson, Eberle, Taves, Pageau, Lee, Letty, all these guys on fire. Then you have Varlamov. You noticed I said all those names correctly, right? For the naysayers, maybe you can, you know, correct some of the reviews where I mispronounce names from time to time. I'm sure I will still continue to do that, but this is a new me going forward. I am 40. I've learned a couple of things. We'll see what happens. But Bailey, 1 goal, 6 assists, +6. Beauvillier, 4 goals, 3 assists, +3. Those two guys in particular, some of the talking heads up there in Canada have been saying, where the heck did these guys come from? I mean, we see them every day. We know that these guys can bring it. I know there's a lot of Bailey haters. We've talked about this at length from time to time, plus with some of the guests that come on. But those two guys have been absolutely dynamite from one series to the next. And Bo, that boy, he's out there. He is a spark plug, always. Love it. Barzal was really kicking him today. It seemed he didn't really want to drive to the front of the net, but he saved the best for last. And in overtime, that power move to go outside, turn up the angle, go right to the dirty area to get that backhand pass Holtby. Hello, hero. Barzy's better. Let me tell you, an overtime hero for him. I'm not sure if that was his first of his career or if he kind of did it last year. I don't really remember. I'm sure you guys will be quick to point that out to me. But two goals, 4 assists, +6. Been playing very well. Pulak, 1 goal, 5 assists, +3. You're going to start to see a pattern. Nelson, 3 goals, 3 assists, +5. Nelson has gone hard to the net, game in, game out. It's the player we've wanted from him. It's why we coined Brocktober and Brovember and all these other things. He is now doing what he's done when we love him consistently through the playoffs, and that is a huge thing. Eberle, another guy. We kind of said maybe the contract was a little too long. Last year, he really showed up in that Pittsburgh series. He's doing it again, folks. 3 goals, 2 assists, +5. Taves, every time he has the puck on his stick, magic happens. He's got a great first pass out of the zone. He loves to be the QB there, close to the blue line on the power play. Gets the puck deep. Get pucks deep. And he's got 4 assists, +5. Pageau, we knew that this guy was billed as a playoff performer. He did fantastic up in Ottawa. He single-handedly got them, you know, to progress pretty far in the Stanley Cup playoffs that one season for them. And he's got 3 goals, 2 assists, and +5. The other night, he was like 13 or 14 for 17 at the faceoff dot. I'm not sure what his stats were in Game 3 today, but he is everything as described. He is an agitator on the ice. He could win offensive zone draws, defensive zone draws. He can do it all. He can score. He can pass. He can muck it up a little bit. What about the David and Goliath little incident with Brian Boyle against the Panthers? He sat there. He goaded him into a response, and then he made him flinch. Here's this little 5 foot nothing guy with huge Brian Boyle, and Boyle flinches, and then he laughs and skates away. It was hysterical, and I love it. He's got the heart of a lion. He's got great hands. He can skate, and he's on the New York Islanders for 6 more years after this season. We kind of bitched and moaned and groaned what Lou Lamoriello was doing, but here we are a couple months later, 173 days really, you know, for me, and we are seeing dividends. We really are. Anders Lee, that little hit the other day that gained all the ire from the Capitals, you know what? It's doing good things. They are going after him hard. He's obviously a marked man. He's drawn a couple of penalties. He's gotten into a couple of scraps. So, yes, he's answered the bell in that way, and it's done really well. 3 goals, 5 assists, like I just said. If I didn't say it, I'm sorry if I repeated myself. Love what he did today. He was in the right spot in that dirty area again, tapped his stick. Pelech, the birthday boy, finds him through traffic for the slap pass and a little redirect. What are you going to say about that? I did not expect these type of goals against the Capitals. I really didn't. They're gritty, hardworking goals. They've had some finesse too. The power play is like 0 for 800, but hey, that's fine. They were 25% against the Cats last round, and different teams. The Capitals have a fantastic penalty kill. They go out there, they just prevent little zone passes and slot passes. And the Islanders can break through from time to time. We did see a power play goal the other night. And it will happen. You know, they will start to take chances. And as long as they're generating, I don't care. It's when they pass around the perimeter and don't shoot, or if Barzal just skates circles through the zone, I just lose my patience with stuff like that. Get pucks to the net. Like the same play the other night when they had that 4 minute forecheck and hemmed the Capitals in their zone, which I tweeted, rumor has it they're still hemmed in their zone to this date. they might be forever. But pucks in deep, pucks to the front of the net, went off Clutterbuck's glove and in. That's all it takes. Shoot at the net, you never know what's going to happen. They teach us that from day one in hockey, from peewee all the way up to high school and college and beyond. So Nick Leddy also had a goal the other night. That was on the power play, the only power play goal against, while we're on that subject. And he's +7. He's looked great. He's had a bunch of shots. He's active. He is doing his part defensively. They're all blocking shots. Matt Martin on one shift tonight blocked a shot with each foot. That's just, he's a warrior. He's everyone. They're all doing their thing, taking hits to make plays, and it's really, really good to see. Varlamov, 1.71 goals against, .932 save percentage. He's got a 6-1 record. You could say the same thing about this guy. Everyone complained. We wanted Robin Leonard. Heck, I wanted Robin Leonard also because he was just a character guy. But Lamoriello went out and he addressed a need at goal. We also are going to be expecting the White Whale finally, which I'm sure some of the other guys have talked about with Ilya Sorokin finally being in North America, signing his contract, signing an extension. So he is going to be here next year, and he is going to backstop Varlamov, at least for the short term. And I'm liking what I'm seeing out of him. He's been sound. He must have been working on his glove side, because we didn't see him throw those gloves up like we did earlier this year and fan it at a puck or bad angles. He's really, really, really positionally sound. He has had quick motions side to side. The Islanders have allowed him to see through traffic in ways that I haven't seen them do for a goaltender in a long time. So whatever this little training camp they managed to squeeze in here, you know, in the bubble and previous to the bubble, I'm telling you, Barry Trotz has this team just firing on all cylinders. PK Subban said last night that he could see the New York Islanders as a, you know, getting to the Stanley Cup final. And I know there's some tough teams out there to be played. The reseeding situation is a little scary because the Islanders will go in as a higher seed, I suppose. We never know who we're going to face off against. But the way they're playing right now, if the power play starts clicking and they can stay out of the box or at least kill off penalties the way that they have been, I think the Islanders can make some noise here and continue to do damage. I'm loving it. I really am. So I guess ultimately something else that I've been wanting to do is I'm going to continue to podcast here during the playoffs. It might be spotty. It might not be very long ones like this one. But I want to hear from you guys. Reach out to me on Twitter. Reach out to me through the Facebook page or the Instagram or wherever. Let me know how you guys are liking the playoffs, what you could maybe want changed in this situation, or how you're enjoying it. I saw a couple of tweets of people with outdoor TVs hanging out in the pool having a couple of cocktails, and that is cool. I never once expected to be watching hockey in August. I never once expected to see a playoff game on my birthday. Having an August birthday has traditionally been pretty crappy as far as getting things and doing things. I mean, having a summer birthday is obviously cool because I was always home, could always go to the beach, things like that. But we missed out on cupcakes, all us late birthday guys. Cupcakes at school and everything else. So this is like a little bit of payback, I think, for situations like that. You know, plus I'm a Leo. Leo's like the sun. I get it. I love the beach. I really do. But let me know, what can the NHL be doing differently? What are they doing really well? Reach out to me on Twitter at IslesBlogger or at the show's Twitter at Faithful Isles. What do you want to talk about, you know, moving forward as well? What are some things that you want me to kind of look into or talk about? I don't know. Sometimes I just don't know what the heck I'm doing. So as we wrap up, and we will be wrapping up, I wanted to just send a big thank you out to everyone who listens regularly. There hasn't been an episode, as we keep talking about, in a while, but we did surpass 20,000 downloads total since I started the podcast, which has been awesome. You're still consuming the heck out of the older episodes. It seems during the playoffs, you know, everyone's kind of trying to catch up, or even during quarantine. So that's been really cool. I do have some exciting news that I will probably drop in the next episode with sort of sponsorship thing that kind of worked itself out here over the last couple of days randomly. So we might talk about that. And, you know, what can I do better? This is a little different way for me to do this because I've just been bottled up for so long. And I'll get back into the way I've typically put out an episode in the past and the format and everything. So this is just a way to get back in touch, a little summer podcasting here. And hopefully the next time we speak, it'll be for a sweep, knock on wood, not to jinx anything, or at least to close out the series, which will be fantastic. So until then, this has been the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Michael Sherline. Follow us on Twitter, at Isles Blogger, at Faithful Isles. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram. We are on every possible podcast streaming way you can possibly think of: Apple, Google, Spotify, Podbean, all those players. So consume us wherever you consume podcasts, rate and review. And hopefully one of these days I'll update the YouTube channel, because there's been a ton of requests for me to get the latest updates on there, and I kind of forgot about it for a little while, so we will get you there soon. As always, we'll close out with a Let's Go Islanders. Talk to you later.